Yeah, I mean, that's a big thing for me, the external world, all the white noise out there. It's, you know, if you listen to the news or anything out there, it's overwhelmingly negative. I haven't listened to the news in probably 30 years for that reason. You know, I'll tune in when something, I actually look something up and something's happening, but I haven't tuned into the nightly news in 30 years because I don't want that negativity in my life because it just leads to more negativity. It's sort of like a virus that infects you and grows, in my opinion.
You're listening to Wealthy Advisor Mindset Podcast, a show dedicated to helping financial advisors grow their AUM while enjoying a great quality of life by creating a high performance mindset. Guiding you on this podcast is none other than Nina Cook, a seasoned mindset coach who has worked with hundreds of business owners over the last decade to dissolve all their self-sabotaging behaviors and habits to achieve their business goals so they can have a much bigger impact and make much more money. Throughout the show, we'll deliver actionable strategies to grow your practice more easily and quickly, while revealing the incredible possibilities that emerge when you tap into your best self. Ready for a breakthrough that amplifies your impact and profits? Let's dive in.
Kevin was born and raised in Michigan. His entrepreneurial spirit developed early on. He was selling night crawlers as a teenager, investing the money he made at the ripe old age of 15. This fueled his love for saving and planning for retirement. And Kevin credits his parents as a major influence leading him to start his own business and help guide families in their financial journeys. Kevin believes real wealth comes from knowledge, and he routinely offers educational events for his clients and the public. Education is the key to unlock all your retirement potential and to ultimately allow you to negotiate successfully throughout retirement. It's Kevin's passion and privilege to help families plan for retirement. He loves building financial plans together with his clients and seeing how it positively impacts them. Kevin, welcome. It's so great to have you here. His other passion is the outdoors. He hopes to one day travel the countryside of Italy and to catch and release a big brown trout on a fly rod. That's right. A great ambition. Right. I'm sure you'll fulfill it. Italy is a very beautiful country. So we'd like to dig into mindset around what it takes to be successful as an advisor. Now, mindset is a piece that I don't believe is talked about enough, but obviously it's the foundation, it's the heart of success, because what you believe you can achieve in life is what you will achieve in life. You won't achieve any more than that. So the key is really to increase our vision and our perception of what we're able to have in our lives. So I'd love to start with finding out more about you and your journey to becoming an advisor and how you've got to the point where you are and all the success that you've had.
Well, we can start way, way back then. You know, I remember when I was a kid, my dad worked at General Motors here in Michigan. And his mantra was, you don't want to work there. You want to go do your own thing. You don't want to work for somebody, help them build their dreams. You want to build your own dreams. So like you said, at the ripe old age of 15, I started investing in the market. And I wasn't quite old enough to open up an account, so I put it in my dad's name. And by the time I turned 18, we went through the terrible 70s, and I just got lucky and caught the other side. And, you know, had a pretty nice increase in my portfolio. My dad wants to know, what's the kid doing to get that kind of money? Well, I got a rude awakening there. First rude awakening was I owe dad money for taxes, and I owe dad money for capital gains, which is a whole lot different than it is now. It was a whole lot more expensive. So that led me down the journey of working for myself because, you know, I used to sell night crawlers, as I said, as a kid here in Michigan. That was my mindset, was to, you know, make my own money. A kid here in Michigan, I'd make, maybe $1,500, $2,000 a summer during, you know, the early 70s. And that was quite a bit of money just working for 2 or 3 months out of the year. And then it led into, I had a friend who was in the insurance business, a company called Lutheran Brotherhood, and I started asking him what he did, and then it led into what I'm doing now. And that's how I got started in this business 32 years ago. So I've been doing this a while.
And the business must have changed. Obviously, everything, nothing stays the same. Everything's transitioning. What are the biggest changes that you've seen in terms of advisors coming into the market? Who, in your opinion, who's doing well? who doesn't manage to get as far ahead as they want? What is the difference between those two sets of advisors, the ones who have all the success they want and the ones who just never manage to get going?
Yeah, I think there's a big difference. When I was taught with Lutheran Brotherhood, you know, the mantra was, how much PC did you produce, which was potential commission. It was all about how much did you sell. It was never about how did you help the client. So, you know, I started that when there's got to be something better than to just constantly go out there and pitch life insurance or fixed annuities or whatever, mutual funds, whatever happened to have been at that time. And then I ran across a guy named Paul Dersel, and we started the education process with clients. That was the big difference for me. And I have it in my office over here. It says, tell me and I'll forget, teach me and I'll remember, and involve me and I'll learn. That's an old Benjamin Franklin quote. And as soon as I adopted that, we'll do planning. You can't see my big screen TV. It's a 50 or 65 inch Dell right here. And when people come to my office, we'll start planning with them. We'll start involving them in their own plan. We'll get them, you know, empowered by building their own plan, getting them involved, educating them along the way. It's a series of steps that we take. So when the client gets that far, he takes ownership of his plan. They're involved in the planning process. I think where a lot of advisors make mistake is you come at it from that, I got to sell something to them versus, no, let's get them involved. Let's build a plan for them. Let's get them so they see the envision. Let's empower them. Let's get them to own it. That was the big difference for me, was going from selling to educating. That was a huge difference for me.
Yeah, that makes absolute sense. Your dad said something really important when you were young. He said, don't work for someone else and build their dreams. Build your own dreams.
Yes.
So is this something that you took to heart? And if you did, how did you go about building your dreams? How did you create a vision for what you wanted to achieve?
Well, I've always been a, you know, self-help kind of guy. Wayne Dyer in the early days, Tony Robbins in the early days. I'd always, you know, his mantra was never come home. He'd come home every day when I was a kid. Don't work for that. Go build your own dreams. So it started with, I think I'll be a mechanic. Right out of school, I was a mechanic. And I thought, I have my own shop. Well, I found out real quickly I didn't like doing that. So then I went to, you know, auto parts, which was kind of the same field. Thought maybe I'd run an auto parts store, maybe have my own auto parts. That didn't work out quickly either. So then I graduated to the financial planning. And that's where I've been for the last 32 years. But if it wasn't for that kind of push, you know, hey, don't get stuck in a rut. Don't work here just because you get a, you know, pension. Like my dad said, I get a pension. That's going to be nice. But, you know, go build your own dreams. And he was always a big proponent. And my mom also, you know, that said, you know, the only thing that holds you back is what's between your ears. And another thing my dad used to say, you know, your friends are going to be like elevators. They take you up or take you down. The key to success, I learned early on, is hang around people a lot smarter than you are and learn from them. And I think that's what a lot of advisors sometimes are missing out on, too. You got to hang around people who are smarter than you, you know, learn from them, ask questions, and, you know, keep going forth.
You sound as if you have very wise parents.
I did.
You're very, very fortunate in that. They said some great things to you. They gave you really sound, solid advice, which is sounds as if you follow their advice and you reap the benefits of it. When they said, deal with what's between your ears, how have you dealt with that when it's pulled you back? Because we know that we have a whole load, hundreds of beliefs, the so-called truths about ourselves that we believe are true. And some of those beliefs are very helpful. They're very supportive of our goals. But some of those beliefs are negative and they pull us away from our goals because they distill fear and anxiety into our minds. How have you dealt with your negative beliefs and how have you stopped them from, you know, sabotaging your success?
That's a good question. I've really never had negative beliefs in my ability. I've had setbacks, but I just viewed the setback as, all right, I got that out of the way. I'm going to move on to the next thing or to the next step and get beyond this. I've never been a person who said, oh, I had this setback, it's going to end me. I just said, all right, how do I get better? How do I get past this? You know, and the focus is on how to get beyond that. It was never pulling me back to say, I would think in most cases, I've had a lot of health issues that's knocked me out. for months at a time. I just recently had lymphoma knocked me out for, you know, about a year on and off. So I've had lots of setbacks throughout this stuff, but it was always like, all right, I've gotten through this, now let's continue on. So if I think back, I've always been a big self-help guy, always Wayne Dyer fan, you know, and I applied a lot of those learnings that are teachings that I've learned throughout the years and just kept going forward.
Which are the biggest learnings that have helped you?
Well, there's several people I think that are attributed to this, but, you know, if you look at, you know, if you have a failure, well, that's one less I'm going to have going forward. Right. I've got that out of the way. I'm getting closer to my goal. I think that's probably one of the bigger ones that I've learned going through that. You know, everybody fails. It's not unnormal it's a normal process of life. You're going to fail to get better. And it's just the way it works.
Yes. There is no fear of failure for you.
No, there never has been. Even through my health battles, I've always then this came from my dad too. Why worry about it? Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. Just try to get better.
Yeah. Great, great learnings there. Any other learnings that you feel have really helped you when things have been tough or when you had the setback that you've been able to apply to move forward?
When I'm at an impasse or I have, you know, a setback and in the back of my mind, I'm wondering, how do I get past this? I always reach out to somebody smarter than me. And I always ask, you know, here's what's going on. How would you go about it? I'll get maybe 2, 3, 4 opinions. It's not unusual for me. And, you know, you know, Dan, I've reached out to Dan several times. Paul from Insight Photos, I reached out to him several times. Those are my go-to guys right now in life. And then I have neighbors who are much older than me and friends who are much older than me. And I'll just ask them when I get to an impasse, what would you do? Because I'm drawing on their life experiences, how they got through it, and what they would tell their younger selves, now being me younger, how would you get through that? And I use that all the time.
Do you then just go through all the different opinions and then find something that you think you can use yourself?
Yeah, something will click with me. Typically it's, okay, that something will click with me, and then I'll run with that. But generally that'll point me in the right direction, and I'll get through whatever stumbling block I've been through at the time. And then that's always worked for me. Either that, or this is going to sound weird too, I will wake up in the middle of the night because I'm dreaming about it, and then something will come to me. So that happens quite often too. But those two things really helped me get through all of the setbacks and all of the drawbacks and, you know, low times and those types of things.
Do you set an intention when you go to sleep to find an answer to that challenge, or do you just randomly dream? Obviously, it's not randomly because everything follows, you know, a sequence and a pattern. Or are those dreams coming to you?
They just come to me. I don't go to sleep saying, give me the answer, and it'll just come to me. And it's been that way since I've been a kid.
You're tapping into something deeper within yourself.
Yes. And I don't know what it is. You ask Wayne Dyer, I think he'd call it self. But it just, you know, your answers are there. You just have to be open for them. And then, you know, not be, you know, you don't want to be the smartest guy in the room. You want to ask smarter people than you. You want to draw on their experiences. You want to, you know, take what they've learned the hard way and make it easier for yourself. And then sometimes, like I say, it just comes to me in the middle of the night.
Yeah, so you're open to receiving.
Yes.
So you've got this open channel to receiving the information, and then you act upon it.
Yeah, that's very good. My buddy Paul says I have discernment. I have great discernment. So he'll call me up and he'll run. He's a lot smarter than I am. Mm-hmm. He'll call me up and run things by me. But I got that gut feeling that I just know I seem to, in most cases, which direction to go, whether it's going to worth the time or not worth the time, or maybe we need to twist something. But, you know, those combinations of things have always done me good.
It's a muscle.
Are you frustrated with your inability to take the next steps to grow your practice and worry that your same old tired strategies don't seem to work any longer? If this is you, then listen up. Nina has spent the last 2 decades coaching financial advisors and has cracked the code to growing AUMs, hitting bigger profits in your business, and achieving a higher quality of life. You can now get access to those secrets in her game-changing book, Renegade Mindset, a financial advisor's guide to a peak performance mindset. In the book, Nina will share her proven process for success to take you from chasing clients to to attracting high-paying ones by creating a success-driven mindset. So, if you're struggling with stagnation, then this could give you the breakthrough you've been searching for. This is different to anything you may have come across before. For being an awesome listener to this podcast, our team would like to gift you a free copy of the book, Renegade Mindset, a financial advisor's guide to a peak performance mindset. You can get your free copy at ninabook.org. You only have to pay for shipping and handling. Once again, the link to get a free copy of this book is ninabook.org. The link is also in the description. Don't miss out on this exclusive opportunity to grow your AUM and stop hustling for your next client. Now, back to the show.
You said that you've always had this ability, you've exercised this muscle throughout your life, and therefore it's strong for you and it's something that you've come to rely on and you trust it, like your gut instinct. So yeah, it doesn't happen just by chance. It's like anything. If we practice something enough, we build that muscle and we become good at it. And we all have this ability, but most of us are closed off to this, you know, having a conversation with our deeper self, our higher self, our more intelligent self, because we have the answers. You said when someone's giving you their opinions, something resonates with you, it's because aligns with the answer you already have within yourself. And it feels like the right thing. But often we don't trust ourselves, do we? We're always looking to the external world to give us the answers, and often we have them within.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big thing for me, the external world, all the white noise out there. It's, you know, if you listen to the news or anything out there, it's overwhelmingly negative. I haven't listened to the news in probably 30 years for that reason. You know, I'll tune in when something, I actually look something up and something's happening, but I haven't tuned into the nightly news in 30 years because I don't want that negativity in my life because it just leads to more negativity. It's sort of like a virus that infects you and grows, in my opinion.
Yes, and the news is certainly nonstop now. It's 24/7, isn't it? Which is, I'm going heading the wrong direction.
Yes.
Why do you think mindset is so important for every single business owner to pay attention to it?
Well, I think you hit it on right at the beginning, what you believe you can achieve, right? And I've, you know, if you put it, I'm a big believer, if you put it out there, it comes back to you. And that's always worked for me too. So if I'm having an issue, I'll put it out there. Somebody will come, I'll talk to somebody or it'll come to me or something will come, you know, into play, which is, oh, okay, that's the direction I need to go right now. So I think that that's the big thing for me that's helped me out quite a bit. I'm a big believer in, you know, like I said, Wayne Dyer, you put it out there, the answer will come or help you and guide you, those types of things.
Absolutely. Do you have any limits on how successful you can be? When you think of your vision, you said that you would like to, you know, you love what you're doing and you want to do it for more years, etc., and build upon all of that. But do you have any limits in your mind? And often we're not aware of the limits that we have, but do you think, well, I can only earn so much and I can't really go beyond that? Or is it just infinite for you?
No, I do have limits. The limit for me right now is I've gotten to a point where there's only me and a staff member. And I'm getting older. So I'm thinking, do I want to do more business? Do I not? Do I bring somebody in? Do I not? You know, so I'm thinking, well, maybe 7-8 years I retire. So how am I going to pass this on? So the limit for me is self-imposed. I'm like, I'm already put it there, right? Do I want to get bigger? Don't I want to get bigger? Because I could. But I'm at that point. Is that the direction I want to go? So that's the thing that I'm battling with now for the last 6 months, and I still haven't found quite the answer to that, and I'm still searching for that. So I've asked Dan, I've asked Paul. You know, they all given me good ideas, but for me, it's like bringing somebody in to take care of my clients who care for them like I do. That's the thing that holds me back. I just don't want, like I said, I don't want a salesman. I want somebody to come in and teach, educate, you know, take care of my clients' kids. And, you know, that'd be my legacy. So that limit I put on myself is, you know, I could grow more, but do I want to grow more? And that's where I'm at right now.
You're battling that.
Yes.
Will get the right answer because you always do.
Yeah, I always do. I'm getting closer. So I will get it. Yes.
What's your work-life balance like? Do you manage to have, you know, other areas of your life that you pay attention to, in your health, relationships, or have you found over the years that work has taken up too big a chunk of your life? Because often it happens with business owners, doesn't it? They start their business, they think, oh, I'll have time to, you know, spend more time with my family, I have more flexibility, I have more freedom, I want anyone to answer to. But sometimes it can turn into the opposite of that, become a bit of a nightmare, you spend too long at your desk. What's it been like for you? And if you do have a nice balance, have you managed to do that?
Well, early on, yes, I worked 60, 70 hours. I would go to people's houses early on, and that took up a lot of time. But when I turned 60, 3 years ago, I was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. So that was a turning point for me. Now time is really important, right? Because I love work.
Yes.
So now I'm just on the opposite end of the spectrum. I'm working typically Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday during the summer. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'm out having fun. I'm fishing. I'm with my wife. I'm doing whatever it is. So I've taken it to the other extreme now because it took that big, you know, awakening there that, hey, time is more important. So, and I still love what I'm doing. I love coming to the office. I love helping people. I just scaled it back. And that's where my conundrum is. I could get bigger, right? But I don't want to work anymore. So how can I bring somebody in? That's where I'm stuck at right now.
Got it. And you said the most important thing is time. And we can, you know, it's the only thing we cannot replace in life.
Right.
So what would you say to any advisors who are listening, who are working crazy hours, they're not paying attention to other areas, important areas of their life? How can they get into perspective and make sure that they do focus on other areas before, you know, it's too late and they maybe lose good relationships or lose their health and other important things?
Well, for some, you know, it's going to take something like it did for me.
A wake-up call.
Some kind of life event, right?
Yeah.
And then for some, you know, your A personality, your B personality, whatever you are. But I think there's a good balance. Now, for me, time has always been a big thing for me. And, you know, with money, you know, people have some money demons, right? If you make too much money, it's not good. And then it gets you in that mindset. For me, money was always freedom. So I want it give me the freedom to do what I want to do. Now, don't get me wrong. I've always taken time off. I haven't worked a Friday in probably 30 years. So it used to be Friday, Saturday, Sunday I'd have off. Now it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But I think it's a turning point. And what got me there was education, not selling. And when you have that process put in place, you know, I have more referrals than I know what to do with right now. I have a radio show too. I do because it's fun and people come in through there. So I don't have the problem that most advisors have, thank goodness, knocking on wood, that I don't have enough prospects. I have more than enough prospects. I have more than enough people coming through my door. So how do you balance the time with the new people? And then again, that's where I'm going back to. I'm going to have to hire somebody to come in and train them how to educate. But I think once you get the processes put in place, because I think so many advisors, you know, especially if you're on the commission side, you got to get up every January 1st, you got to do it all over again. If you go to the AUM side, you can build this nice recurring income. When I had lymphoma, my income increased. I was going to Mayo Clinic. You know, I was still working a couple of days a week when I felt like it. After I had six rounds of chemo, I would still come in and do 2 or 3 hours a day. And it just kept growing. And I was that transition from, I don't want to be the mouse. I don't want to be the hamster on the cage that goes around and around. I want to build a practice. So when a life event comes like that, that, you know, I don't have to worry. I can go to the best hospitals in the world. I can spend all the money I want and not worry about I'm not producing income because I had that built at AUM. And that was a transition too, from going from commission to AUM is for me, it was big because I'm losing all of that upfront money. And I have to gradually build it in there. And that's what I did over the last 5 or 6 years is I built that AUM up to where I could do that Mayo Clinic. I could take off months at a time and get focused on my health. And that was a big transition too.
I can imagine. I mean, this may be a question that you've already answered. What is the secret to your success?
How you think. And hanging around people that are smarter than you and learning from them. I've always known I could succeed. I just needed somebody to help me point me in the right direction. I always needed somebody to help me. I've never done it on my own. I've always gravitated towards people who were smarter and wiser and had systems in place and had brighter outlooks and, you know, could see a little bit further down the road than I could. And I just draw from that. That's no matter what it is, that's what I've done.
And if you say there's one productive belief that's really helped you, one way of thinking, one attitude, what would that be?
I think you're never too old to start
over. That's a great one.
You're never too old to start over. You know, Colonel Sanders, Kentucky Fried Chicken, I think he started when he was 62 years old. And you're just never too old to learn a new thing. My mentor right now is 44. I'm 63. And you're never too old to learn from somebody that's even younger. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, you have to be open to those things.
Yeah, that is so true. I love that. And there are so many shining examples of people who achieved success later in life where they took up a new hobby and they became amazing at it. Yeah. And because age isn't now what it was even 30, 40 years ago, where people who are thriving in their 80s and even in their 90s, they don't even think of the number, do they? They don't think about how old they are. It doesn't matter to them.
No, I have a client, he's 82, 83 years old, and he probably works 40 hours a week still. He loves it.
Yeah.
And he keeps going and going and going. That's just, you know, my doctor said one time, when he was going through college, he had an old Volkswagen VW bug, as we call them here. And he drove it for almost 300,000 miles because he was in college. He needed some cheap transportation when he's a resident, couldn't afford a whole lot. And then as he's going through all of that, and then he finally got his own practice, started earning some money, he bought a different car. Well, a year later, he thought he'd take out that Volkswagen for a ride, but then it was leaking a little oil. It was groaning, you know, moaning. And the same thing, he says, you got to keep moving forward. You know, otherwise your body, your mind, and all those things are going to start creaking, moaning, groaning if you don't exercise. And I think you said it earlier, it's a muscle, right? You got to keep that muscle going. So that was a big thing that came from one of my, you know, from my doctor. He let me in on that little secret probably 20 years ago. So.
Yeah, that's a really great secret. So what would you say is the biggest lesson that life has taught you so far?
Be humble. You know, you'll get to a point where you think, you know, hey, I got it figured out. You never have it figured out. Be humble. Always learn from somebody that's smarter than you. Put that, I think the biggest lesson is, you know, you have to put that in action. You just don't learn and forget it. You put it in action. You have to implement these things that are going to work for you. And I think a lot of people fail to implement or, you know, fully implement or believe in what they've learned and implemented. And I think that's a big one for me too, is implementation. If you think you've learned something and you think it's going to help you, you're never going to know unless you implement it.
And do you implement easily or do you tend to procrastinate?
I'm in. When I'm in, I'm in. So, yeah, that I don't procrastinate too much, no. So I'm like, I've got that gut feeling that tells me, yep, I'm going to do it or I'm not going to do it. So,
you know.
No.
Good. So how can anyone who's listening, how can they find out more about you and what you do?
Well, they can go to my website, insightfolios.com. They can look us up. There's all kinds of education. If you go to that website, you will see that it's all about education. We have podcasts. We have 6-minute clips of learning things that are by design, because we know that people will tune out if it's an hour long. So all of those things is what we use on an everyday basis. We have a great planning software that we get the clients involved. We teach them. They help us build their plan. We get them involved. We educate them. They own it. We empower them. All those things are on that website. And I think that'd be a good spot to go to. You can see what we're all about there.
Yeah, see, so the teaching, the education is the foundation of your success.
Yeah.
And this is the way to really involve the clients and make sure that they're part of it. I know with our own financial advisor, they include us. They want to know what our goals are. And I feel very involved. And I feel that they really care about me. So I really resonate with what you're saying there. Yeah. Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you today.
You're welcome. It's been my pleasure.
I hope you enjoyed the episode today on the Wealthy Advisor Mindset. Make sure to hit subscribe on your chosen platform to get notifications on upcoming episodes. If this episode made you think of someone who you think would benefit from listening to it, then go ahead, take a screenshot and share this episode with them, or post it on your social media to share with your friends and colleagues. You can catch the show notes for this episode and any mentioned links in the description. If you are a financial advisor who is struggling to grow your AUM and profits while creating a great work-life balance, and you know it's because your mindset is stopping you, or you have a specific challenge in mind that you would love Nina's feedback on, go to chatswithnina.org and grab a time that works best for you. We'd love to see if we can help you. Once again, it's chatswithnina.org. We will see you in the next episode.